Okay. Yes, I think we're recording. Okay, triggers. Basically, as I mentioned before, triggers are associated with doing something. And so when I... And it has to do with the DML. It's associated with inserting, updating, or deleting. And so you set up a trigger, and then you say, okay, this trigger is going to fire when I do something to my data. So, you know, you were talking about the fact that they guard their data very well. Well, one of the nice things to have is this: whenever I change a record on the database, I can get a record of what I did. And so it's just, especially if you have multiple programs that change the database, it's not attached to a program, it's attached to the data. So when the data changes, you get a record of it. So that's the nice part about a trigger. So what I did, and actually, why don't we go ahead? I was going to do it anyway. Bring up Oracle. And you can play with the thing. And now I got to find Oracle. SQL plus. Oh, you know how we ran into the problem, and I think you solved it, that I needed that particular one? If I had written my name @Oracle11G, when the other one comes up that doesn't give me the option of which drive, if I write my username @Oracle11G, it would have worked. Because they put it on my desk, and I was playing with it last night because I was here, and I couldn't get in. So I went over and they said, oh, that's right. We didn't change your desk one. You have to put the Oracle 11G. So that was interesting. And you don't have to do that in PuTTY, and you don't have to do that, but as students, I think you're all set. But we were running into problems that me was not all set if I clicked on a different place. So what they have here is just a quick little table that I made that is going to keep track of things. So I said, create table total notes. And I put on it the change date, which was a date, and tote amount. And I want to spell that right, which is a number, and I made it 6,2. Okay. Whoops. So, okay, I've already created it apparently, so I must have done this last semester and forgot that I had. So if I do a select asterisk from total notes, no rows selected. So apparently all I have is I actually did create it, but I guess I didn't put anything in it. So I've got total notes. Okay, and total notes is that particular thing. So you can go ahead and create it. And then I am going to look and see if I have trigger one as well. So I'm going to say edit trigger one, and it can't find that, so I guess I didn't do that part. Okay, so on trigger one, I am putting a very simple little thing that matches with the trigger, with the table rather, that I created. So I'm saying create or replace trigger one. After, and I'm just doing update on new donation one, And I have no idea whether I have new donation one, so I may have to go in and make that. And then I've got declare and V date is total notes dot change date type. And I can put any date on that I want. So I will put on that, right. 26 November 13. Okay. And then I've got V tote amount, which is total, and I didn't spell total notes right on the top one, so I need to fix that. And then in the begin, I've got select sum of cont amount into V tote amount from new donation one. And then I'm saying, okay, insert into total notes change date and tote amount, which has values of V date and V tote amount. And that would be the end of the trigger. So what I've got there is basically that if an update isn't done on new donation one, then it will take the sum of everything that I already have in new donation one and put it into V total amount. And it will insert into total notes the change date and the tote amount. Now, obviously, the better way of doing the date thing would have been to use the system's date so that I have the current date and not trust the user to put in a date either, just take the system's date. And that would have been a better way to do it. So I'm doing a file save, a file exit, and then I'm gonna and create it. So I've now created it. And actually I wanna go in and take a picture because I don't think I took a picture of what I'd written.
I need that table.
Yeah, I think I do too. But my hope is that I've got a copy of donation out there. Yeah, I've got a copy of donation. So I can just say create table new donation one as select asterisk from donation. All right, apparently I have new donation one too. So apparently I did part of this last year. Yeah, so I have new donation one. Okay. Do you have donation?
For some reason I do not.
Okay. Well, it's basically, you can see it's a small table, and you can see it right there. It's ID number, Medicare, date, and number. So it's a fairly quick and easy table. And then you have to put a couple of things into it, but it doesn't have to be a lot. Just throw in a couple of records like the ones I have there. It doesn't have to be, you can throw in anything you want, but you want just a couple of records so that when it says to do the sum from here, it will have a couple of records to sum. That's basically what you want to do. And you can just make up your own. It doesn't matter what you've got. Sorry. I'll put it back. And then this week there's no new assignment because the assignment last week included triggers. So now I'm going to create the tape, write the code. So I'm going to say edit, use trigger one. Use underscore trigger one. Okay. So this one is simply going to have, okay, I'm going to put in this, and it is simply doing an update. And my trigger was set to respond to updates. So I'm putting these in, and on this update, I am taking in user information to do the update. And I can't seem to type correctly to save my soul today. I really shouldn't have stopped learning to type when I got to numbers and special characters. I taught myself. I bought one of those books, Teach Yourself to Type, and I got through all the letters and all the keys on the bottom three rows, and then that top row, I got bored, and I never really learned numbers and special characters.
I'm not sure about special characters, but whenever I need numbers, I just fill my hands with the numpad.
Yeah, that's probably a good way of doing it. Okay, so I've got my three things defined, and I think I made that a capital V, so I got to go back and change it. And then begin, and as I said before, all I'm doing here is an update. and the only thing I'm updating is the amount. And because I have a table here that can have multiple things from one ID number, basically I said where BID number is the same and drive number is the same. I didn't bother with date, but in fact, if I were out in the real world, I should have also included date, because if you remember, donation has ID number, drive number, and date as the key. So I only did it with ID and drive number because I was fine and I really don't like dates. So I basically just did it with those two, and that was fine. I just was careful not to duplicate.
Small error, and to be clear, on the third variable, you have a hyphen 7 on this floor.
Say that again?
In the third variable, you have a hyphen in between B and column amount at the start of it.
Yes, thank you. That's not a small error, that's a crash error, so glad you caught it. No sleeping in class. Okay, so now I'm saying down here.
Bring that up again so I can finish typing it.
Yeah, right. It's actually the same as in the. I have found that if I redo the examples, I make less errors because I can type a little more accurately when I am copying than when I and in fact, if you brought it up, you can just copy and paste into there, which is probably what I should have done. Got it?
Yep.
Okay. So we're out of here. And so now we are assuming we have already created the trigger. I did that up above. I created the trigger. And so now I'm going to just run @ use trigger one. And it asks for an ID number. And I'm putting in 22222, and it's asking for a drive, and I'm putting 100, and it's asking for an amount, and I'm gonna put in 500. Okay, and I got an error. I was doing real well till I got there. Encountered the symbol equal when expecting one of the following. So I'm not real sure what I did there. But that was, it's a semicolon, it looks like. Edit, use, trigger one. And yes, up here at the top, I have a semicolon. Which is interesting because it let me take it in. And then it complained. So I have a semicolon instead of a colon.
Before you close that,
yeah.
That set column out _V _ column out after begin update.
Yeah. Yep, you're right. Set count amount and it should be equal. So thank you. There. Do we think we have all of the errors caught now?
Hey, we'll go and find out.
Okay, file, save, file, exit. And I'm going to go in and change one of the donations. So I'm going to, just so I know what I've got, I'm going to do a select asterisk from new donation one. And then I am going to run use trigger one. Okay, so I'm going to put in 2, 2, 2, 2, 2 and 100 and 500 like I did the last time, and it tells me it was successfully completed. Okay, so at this point, and notice I don't actually, I think, have any keys on this, which is why I got away with it. So let me go in first and do another select asterisk from new donation one, so I can see the update, and it did update. So it changed the 100 to a 500, okay? And if I now look at the sum here, I've got 545, I think. So let's find out. So I'm going to go now and look at the table that I created, which was called Total Notes. So I'm going to say select asterisk from Total Notes. And when I do that, I've got the 645, okay, and today's date. Okay, now obviously if I were doing this for real, I would either have to have date and time, because if I update this again, obviously if that was a key, but I didn't establish it as a key, so it will go ahead and have two dates in there, and that's fine. Okay, and in fact, that's what I may want. So I'm going to do @ trigger, use trigger one again. And this time I'm going to enter 12121, and I'm going to make that drive 200, and I'm going to change that from 40 to 400, and it is now complete. And so now I want to take another look at Total Notes. So I'm doing a select asterisk from, whoops, try getting the cursor there. Select asterisk from Total Notes. And you can see the next update has happened because I now have 400 there and I'm up to 1,005. I'm assuming it can add correctly. Okay. So I've got select asterisk from new donation one, and it now has the 400 in there. Okay. So if I look at that, whoops. If I look at that, that's what? 900 and, yep, 1,005 is right. 950, 80. So basically what I'm doing here is every time I do an update, I'm telling it that the data changed, the date that the update happened, and the new total amount. So I've got that kind of a trail, and I could do any trail I wanted to, but that's the kind of trail that I wanted to do. Okay, and so again, my trigger is edit trigger one. That's my trigger again. So basically, I'm saying after an update. Now you can have after or you can have before. So I can have after the update on new donation one, and I could have had after update, insert, delete. So I can really design it so that I want to have a trail of what's happened. And that's a good thing as far as I'm concerned. Okay. And that is that handout. And then there is a second handout that mentions a few other things that you can have. Okay, so this one, I have a program that I said use student trigger. So I am going to make a student trigger. Okay, I've got a table here that is a collection of students, which has ID, number, name, number of courses, and class level. Okay, and then I have another table that has year name, minimum credits, maximum credits. Okay, so that is if you're a freshman, you should have credits between 0 and 30. If you're a sophomore, you should have between 31 and 60, and that would classify you. Okay, so those are the two tables that I started out with.
Should I create these tables?
Nah, I don't think we'll bother. If you want to, we can. I want to, we'll see what we have for time. Then I went in and I said, okay, I've got an insert. And I wrote just a simple insert routine, okay, that's going to insert. So then I went down and said, okay, now make a trigger. And I said that this trigger I wanted to do before the insert on column 2. And I want to check each row and see if the level is a senior. Okay? So I want to check each row and do it for everybody that is not a senior. Okay? So the new... Okay, so I've got down here, I call this trigger student log, and I said it should be done before an insert. In this line, you can also use after. And then I said this should be done for each row, so that for each row means I want to check each row, and when the Quinn clause eliminates seniors from checking. Okay, note the use of old and new in the row level trigger. These define pseudo records that refer in the case of an update to the before and after. Okay, so basically the new and old, it will keep track of as you're doing it, the before and after. And an update has a before and after. Okay, a insert has an after and a delete has a before. Okay, so those will do it. And then there's a raise application error in this one. It's a built-in function that allows the programmer to create an error message appropriate for their application. The programmer can select a number between 20,000 and 20,999 and then code the error message they plan to use. So that's a different kind of error message. So I can say raise application error and I gave it a number, which is credits out of range. And so then if I run down below something with credits out of range, it will generate that error. So one of these, I did that, yeah. I put in something where the credits were out of the range and I got a credit out of range error. So I basically tried to put in Jane Doe. I tried to say she was a junior, but she only had 15 credits, and 15 credits is not in the range for the junior, so it came back and told me that it was out of range, which is kind of neat. Okay, so I got that credits out of range, and then it does not get added to my list of students because it was out of my range. Okay. So that is the second trigger example. The other thing I wanted to go back and look at is in Introduction to PLSQL. I said I was going to come back to something, and now I'm going to. And it's way down at the bottom. I'll eventually find it. Nesting blocks. Okay. So I've got nesting blocks here. So what I've got, so those are the two topics that I want to look at today. What I've got is a block within a block. So you can see, starting with this declare, I've inserted a block within a block. Okay, so it's within the processing block. I've got a block within a block. And the reason for looking at this, oh goody. Is that we have variables that are declared outside and variables that are declared inside. And the variables that are declared inside are only visible inside, and the variables that are declared outside are only visible outside. So I started out and I said, I've got a B first, which is the number 212, and message is in, it's the outer define. Okay. And then I said, okay, so out message and out answer. And I defined, I said in my begin, now this begin is still part of the outer. I said out message is gonna have the message that I set up for V message, and out answer is gonna have V first times two. And then just to prove it, I wrote them out. So I said, do a DBMS line that says before inner define, and then put out basically all four of those things. So you can see it says 212, outer define, and then double, which is 424. Okay, so just to prove that, I put them in. Now I came in and I said, okay, within the subroutine, I'm redefining V first at 555. So within the subroutine, which is nested in here, it will now think of V first as 555. When I go back outside after I end, then it will go back to using the first V first, the one that was defined in the outer. Okay, so I went in and I redefined things, and then I said, okay, V message, put it into in message, V first times two, put it into in answer, and then write out all this stuff. Okay, so write out the inner loop and write out all the things that I want to do. Okay. So the inner can still see the outer. So in here, I can write out the things that I defined in the inner, which I did on the second line. And then I said inner loop showing outer, and I wrote out the message, out message and out answer, and it can see those because these look global, basically. They're public, global, whatever word you want to use. These are local or private. So only the subroutine can see them. Then when I leave the subroutine, I go back out and I write two more lines, and it can see all the stuff that I defined on the outer. But when I tried to say write in message and in answer, which I defined on the inner, it crashed. Okay? So that's basically what I wanted to go over, was how those work. And that I can have local and global, and I can have public and private. And those were in an early assignment, but I really didn't think it was going to make a lot of sense to people if I went over them there. That's the way Oracle did it. I followed my notes as to how Oracle did it, but I thought it was better to put them later.
I figured anybody who had experience with BASIC or Visual Basic, I think they'd understand the concept of the private and public variables.
I agree. However, some of the people in here do not. And then more examples of inner and outer is on the next page, but I was going to basically leave those because if you understand it, you understand it. So, in fact, I'm done. Next week, we're going to kind of look at some more examples of different things you can do in Oracle. And then the last week is going to be totally just stuff.